Stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense, paranormal talk radio. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. My guest tonight is going to be somebody that's, if anybody out there has really been around this UFO business for many years, they will immediately recognize the name James Mosley and Saucer Smear. He's going to be my guest tonight, and we're going to kind of take a lighthearted look at ufology and from his perspective, if you will. And it's going to be a lot of fun. If you think some of the UFO news is funny, which I do in some ways, in a lot of ways actually, because some of this stuff can get really ridiculous. We're gonna hit on why or what Mosley thinks is going on with this whole thing. Also, we've got a couple of news items tonight. But before I get to that, I want to mention to you that we can now take your faxes online during this program tonight, and you can do so. You can send a fax, and this is just during the show only, to 303-863-0484. Again, that number is 303-863-0484. If you have a question or comment, you can fax it to us now, and we can receive it while we're on the air and take a look at it. Also, now, concerning news, I've got a really big news piece to go on tonight, but before I get to that, I've got a picture here from the Denver Post, Thursday, July 24th. It's a very interesting photograph, and it kind of gives you an idea of how small things can be. The picture, the subtitle of the picture is Itsy Bitsy Tunes, and it says, and it's a guitar. Looks like it's a guitar, 2 microns in size. So scientists at Cornell University have created the world's smallest guitar at 10 micrometers, about the size of a human blood cell. The guitar is one of several items researchers have made at nanoscale dimensions. And again, this is a pretty interesting little photograph. It's a guitar. It really is. And as they said, it's about the size of a human blood cell. Kind of gives you something to think about as far as nanotechnologies and things. Okay, now, this I think is going to become a bigger story as time goes. And next week we might spend a little more time on it. I will have some comments later tonight about this as well. This comes out of, we don't have a date on this, so I don't know what is this today? Today's paper. Special report. The dateline is New York Times. William J. Broad writes that UFOs are really spy planes, and this is according to the CIA. Now, in the darkest days of the Cold War, the military lied to the American public about the true nature of many unidentified flying objects in an effort to hide its growing fleets of spy planes, a CIA study says. Of course, we'll have a different perspective on that, I'm sure. The deceptions were made in the 1950s and 60s amid a wave of UFO sightings that alarmed the public in parts of official Washington. The CIA study says the Air Force knew the most reports by citizens and aviation experts were based on fleeting glimpses of U-2 and SR-71 spy planes, which fly extremely high. Now, those planes were developed in the 1950s and 60s to photograph enemy targets. From secret bases, mainly in California and Nevada, the aircraft repeatedly flew across the country and eventually overseas to bases in countries that included Britain, West Germany, and Taiwan. While commercial airliners in the 1950s flew at altitudes of up to 30,000 feet, the U-2 soared to more than 60,000 feet and the SR-71 to more than 80,000 feet, or 15 miles, nearly the edge of space. The planes carried powerful cameras to spy on foreign military installations and sensitive electronic gear to capture radio and radar transmissions. The spy craft were developed by the intelligence agency and often flown by the Air Force. Now, rather than acknowledging the existence of the top-secret flights or saying nothing about them publicly, the Air Force decided to put out false cover stories, the CIA study says. For instance, unusual observations that were actually spy flights were attributed to atmospheric phenomena such as ice crystals and temperature inversions. Now, over half of all UFO reports from the late 1950s through the 1960s were accounted for by manned reconnaissance flights over the United States. This led the Air Force to make misleading and deceptive statements to the public in order to allay public fears and to protect extraordinary sensitive national security projects. Now, the study says that the CIA's role in the study of UFOs 1947 to 1990 was written by Gerald Haynes and appears in Studies of Intelligence, a CIA secret journal. Now, 5 years ago, the agency began releasing unclassified versions of the journal yearly. Haynes is a historian at the National Reconnaissance Office, the intelligence agency that builds and runs the nation's spy satellites. The admission of federal deception on the issue appears to be a first, experts said in an interview. Now, it's very significant, said Richard Hall, chairman of the Fund for UFO Research, a group in Washington. Hall says certainly they've lied about not having any interest in the subject, but I don't know any other deception like this. Johnny Pike, head of the space policy at the Federation of American Scientists, also based in Washington, said the admission raised questions about other federal cover-ups involving UFOs. The flying saucer community is definitely onto something in charging that the military is hiding something, Pike said. Now, the deceptions about the spy flights were issued in some of the tensest days of the Cold War. The Soviet Union exploded its first hydrogen bomb in 1955, the year that the U-2 flew for the first time. In 1960, a U-2 was shot down over the Soviet Union, leading to the cancellation of an East-West peace conference. In 62, a U-2 spotted a buildup of Soviet nuclear arms in Cuba, precipitating the diplomatic crisis regarded by some experts as the closest the superpowers came to nuclear war. To make the spy planes harder to see and less likely to prompt UFO reports, they were eventually painted black. The CIA study said U-2s initially had silver bodies and reflected the rays from the sun, especially at sunrise and sunset. The report added that they often appeared as fiery objects to observers below, but the SR-71, which first flew in 1964, was apparently painted black from the start. Its nickname, of course, was the Blackbird. That's the article in its entirety there. I want to make a real quick comment, and then, like I said, later on we'll have some more comments. I went on this webpage that they noted in the article, and it's pretty interesting. But does this explain all UFO reports and all UFO sightings? I don't think so. Okay, so anyway, we'll get to that, like I said, a little bit later on in the hour. Okay, we're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we'll introduce our guest tonight, Jim Moseley, editor and still supreme commander of Saucer Smear. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight with that, so stay tuned. The number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum. Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/Paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. Mysteries of the paranormal, UFOs, future science, parapsychology, angelic phenomena, ghosts, secret projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. And once again, if you want to fax us tonight on the program, the number is 303-863-0484. Are UFOs real? Well, we're going to find out from the perspective of my guest tonight. He has a very colorful and diverse past. Jim Mosley's adult life has been devoted to real estate for hoped-for profit and pre-Columbian antiquities of for art and possible profit and flying saucers for intellectual curiosity. Rose Lane Gardens is a six-unit luxury guest house that opened to the public in late 1989 using two remodeled conch houses, Jim? In the Old Town section of Key West, each house being about 100 years old, previous to moving to Florida in 1983. Mosley lived most of his life in or near Fort Lee, New Jersey, in the New York City metropolitan area. In the late 50s, Mosley spent a total of about 3 years living in Peru, where he succeeded in excavating and exporting hundreds, if not thousands, of Inca and pre-Inca artifacts dating as far back as the pre-Christian era. These are highly artistic objects of ceramic, wood, silver, and gold. Now, for several years in the 1980s, Jim Mosley was proprietor of a pre-Columbian art gallery in Key West, where he sold artifacts from Peru and other South American countries, as well as rare wood carvings from various parts of Africa. In 1992, he donated his remaining Peruvian material to the Graves Museum of Archaeology and Natural History, located in Dania, Florida, near Fort Lauderdale. There they are on permanent display. Now, Jim Mosley's other unusual interest through the years has been in UFOs. In this regard, he has appeared on countless radio and television shows throughout the United States. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, he lectured as an expert on UFOs to over 100 colleges around the country. Beginning in 1954, he published a semi-professional magazine called Saucer News, which reached a peak subscription circulation of almost 10,000. Now, currently, Mosley publishes a free UFO trade journal, mainly of interest to a few hundred people who make up the hardcore of flying saucer buffs. Humor and UFO-related gossip are the main characteristics of this non-scheduled newsletter, which is called Saucer Smear. This newsletter takes an attitude of benign skepticism toward the more extreme UFO beliefs and generally reflects the various ways in which Mosley has mellowed in his thinking over the years. We're going to get to that. Do I have him on? Okay, let's see here. Drop that one. And Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the program.
Well, I've been listening to all of that. I didn't know you got to read all of that stuff. Some of it is obsolete, but never mind.
Well, okay. I got that off your webpage, by the way.
Well, I don't read the webpage. Not on the web, but never mind.
Yeah. You're still, according to your title here, you're editor and still Supreme Commander.
Yes.
Let's talk about, first of all, are UFOs real, Jim?
Well, what do you mean by real?
Well, are they a real thing? Are people seeing something, or are we dealing with something else?
Well, people are seeing things that they can't identify, and I suppose there's a small residue of things that can't be identified at this time. What they are, I don't know, really. It's a long story. Very long.
Very long?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that I don't think it's spaceships. I think that's unlikely.
Okay.
For a number of reasons. I think if there is something peculiar going on, as indeed there seems to be, it's probably something that's part of the Earth's environment. It may be some complicated interplay between our minds and some other intelligence, but I'm quite sure that it's not spaceships for a number of technical reasons. It just doesn't seem to be that. But there is a fascination to this mystery, and I've been interested for 46 years or something like that, and I intend to continue my interest. I think it's absolutely fascinating. There's something there, but we can't prove what it is. That's, I guess, the bottom line.
Okay, let's go back a few years. How did you get interested in the subject of UFOs?
Well, many years ago, in 1953, I met a professional writer on the subject of adventure, mainly, and it sort of worked into my interest in flying, or rather in antiques, as well as flying saucers. But anyway, this guy was a published writer, and he offered to co-author a book with me on the subject of flying saucers, although his main published stuff was in the adventure field. So to make a long story short, I went around the country for 3 or 4 months by car, and I visited about 100 or so people who were prominent in the UFO field at that time, people who had seen things or had made scientific statements about UFOs or whatever, just people who were mentioned in the early books on the subject. And then taking that as a basis of information, I was ready to do the book. It never worked out, and I started Saucer News as a magazine instead. And I continued doing it as a hobby, more or less, for all these years.
Now, 46 years ago, when you got into this, what was the general feeling around about what saucers were?
Well, I think the notion of interplanetary visitors was not as entrenched as it is now, would be the way I would answer that. In other words, it's at this point, people say either they don't exist as anything important or they're spaceships. But there are many other possibilities. In those days, certainly we thought more about the Russian threat. And when you go into the formally classified documents of that era, many of which have been released in the last few years and some of which have been published in Saucer Smear, you see that their main thrust in worrying about flying saucers, as far as the government was concerned, was not alien spaceships, it was Russian possibilities of their craft entering our atmosphere in any way, shape, or form. And that was their mandate to protect the country, and that's what they were mainly focused on when they got worried about flying saucers. And over a period of time, this idea of spaceships has become more entrenched, as I say. And so now it's either there's nothing to it or it's spaceships. I say it's something else.
It's something else. Right. Okay, let's take a call. We've got caller Craig calling in from our affiliate in Kansas City, Missouri, KCMO. Good evening, Craig.
Yes, good evening. KCMO's finally carrying you all live in a decent hour.
We're really happy about that.
Yes. I've got a question to ask your guest. It's basically his take on Richard Hoagland and his theories. Hoagland's theories kind of make quasars seem up close and right next door in comparison. But Hoagland, to me, you know, kind of seems like he's that, you know, has-been sports star who's seen his better days, but, you know, refuses to hang up the spikes, and, you know, as a result, makes a mockery of itself and his team.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it seems to me that Hoagland's kind of gone off the deep end as of late, you know, with this tetrahedral stuff, and, you know, lately the theory about this pyramid being visible in the Sojourner photographs.
Right.
You know, my main question basically to your guest is, do you think that Richard Hoagland is basically helping or hindering the UFO communities with some of his theories? And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Craig, for calling, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, well, I would say Hoagland is pretty far out on all of this. I don't know him personally, but I think it doesn't really matter about Hoagland anymore. I am not completely sure of the time frame on this, but within the next year or two, we're going to have photographs of the entire Martian surface that will be, I think, to a resolution of 10 feet or something.
4 feet.
Huh?
It's down to 4 feet.
4 feet, okay. So if the giant figures are there, or the dome cities, or any of the stuff that we'd love to see, we'll certainly see it, unless it's, you know, suppressed in some way. So I don't think we have to worry much longer about what Hoagland thinks. We'll find out.
Okay. All right, hold that. We're going to go to our first break here, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Jim Moseley, who is the editor and still supreme commander, publisher of Saucer Smear, which is now available on the World Wide Web, and we'll give out that web address toward the end of the program. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. And once again, welcome aboard to our live program, Kansas City, and thanks to the program director there for getting us on live. We're really happy about that. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274. Or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
Support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet catalog. Paranet offers products and services designed to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed t-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including a spectacular black-and-white Paranet t-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 150 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews with people such as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Vallée, Travis Walton, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Alan Hale, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine. Paranet memberships have access to MyCap, our investigations group, and discounts to merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
Thank you.
is the Paranet Continuum, where we answer questions and question answers. And we want to know what you think. Call us and stay tuned. Now back to your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is the editor and still Supreme Commander of Saucer Smear, Jim Mosley. Jim, in your years of doing this, and I have been on the subscriber list for Saucer Smear for several years, actually, since I got involved and was introduced to you by Jim Spicer, who was the original founder of Paranet. I kind of take Saucer Smear as kind of a satirical look at some of the claims and some of the luminaries of the field. Is that how you would describe Saucer Smear?
Yes, partially. I do sort of the same kind of thing that Phil Klass does in a much more
tactful
way.
Yeah.
But I'm not as hated as he is. I am somewhat hated. And the reason is that I'm more flexible and I do see possibilities that some of this is true. I'm not absolute the way he is, but I can't take it all seriously, no.
Why do you think that the UFO community is so, I guess one good word to apply to it would be dogmatic?
Yes, I think it's a comparison to religion, really. There are dogmas in religion, and there are, to some extent, in the UFO field. The biggest dogma that has developed in recent years is the Roswell incident. And in my opinion, that has finally been solved and explained. And so that is a terrible blow to some of the hardcore believers in the UFO field. And I don't know if they'll ever recover from it, but there is a Roswell incident, in my opinion.
There was a Roswell incident?
There was one, but it had no significance. It was not an interplanetary spaceship.
What do you think it was?
It was a Mogul balloon.
So you accept the Air Force's explanation?
Yes, I do, but not because the Air Force says it. I'm perfectly willing to become paranoid like most people and disbelieve everything that any, you know, the Air Force or any other authority gives us, but in this instance, there is really no choice but to believe what they say. As far as what was found at the debris field, now there were other locations that people claim that bodies were found and so forth, but as far as what was found on the Foster Ranch, it was the remains of a Mogul balloon in all probability.
Do you think that the bodies, as the Air Force has explained, were misidentifications of a Vince and Larry type crash dummy?
Well, it's a combination of things, and as the guy said in the press conference, which was badly done by the Air Force, but nevertheless, he said, don't listen to me, read the report. And I'm not a reader of everything that comes out in the saucer field, or I do nothing but reading, but I did skim through all of this, and they explain certain things very specifically. It's a long story, but if you read it, you'll see that they are trying. There were some people, in a nutshell, who deliberately lied about what they saw. They pushed it back into the Roswell time frame when they knew perfectly well they were talking about things that happened years later. And then there were other people who may have just honestly been wrong. But the dummies do play a part in it, yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting because, you know, there is a lot of controversy over that, and my personal feeling was is that the Air Force made such a bad production of it that I think it looked bad for them.
Oh, it looked terrible. Everybody I know says they shot themselves in the foot, even people that agree with what they're saying. The press conference on CNN, which I happened to have seen live, mm-hmm. because Carl Flock called me a moment before it came on, and he's my mentor at this time in the UFO field. We're doing a book together, hopefully soon, on the UFO subject. But anyway, I saw the live press conference, and it was ridiculous. It was horrible. And nobody would believe what they were saying in the way that they presented it. The Air Force does not know how to make themselves look good, and they looked awful, and you'd have to read the report to get anything out of it.
Now, in all the years that you've been involved in this stuff, and I'm sure you've run across some pretty colorful characters over the time, what was one? Give us one example of probably one of the most colorful characters of ufology from days past.
Well, how about Carlos Allende, who started out to be Carl Allen, but he lived in the southwest near the Mexican border for quite a while, so he started to call himself Carlos Allende. And do you know the name?
Yes.
Okay. It goes back to the whole Philadelphia experiment thing.
Right.
Which has had a rebirth recently, by the way, because Colonel Corso, author of the book The Day After Roswell,
mm-hmm.
seems to believe in the Philadelphia experiment, which is strange. But anyway, Carlos Allende was a survivor of that experiment in Philadelphia that went haywire, and he went around for years talking about it. And I met him one time with Gray Barker. Talk for a moment. My throat has just gone dry.
Okay. Well, Gray Barker, as some people may know, was the author of They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, among other publications. And,
well, okay, to get back to it. So one time when I was visiting Barker, Carlos Allende happened along and came by to talk and make some tapes with Barker, which he did, and I heard his whole story. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that was perhaps the strangest guy that I ever knew in this field.
Now, he was the guy that purportedly had annotated a copy of what?
Of the, that would be the annotated edition of Morris Jessup's first book, and I can't remember the name of the book right now.
Yeah, I can't either. It escapes me.
But anyway, yeah, he annotated it in three different handwritings. Just the work of three different people.
Yeah. This, of course, this book that you're talking about, the annotated version that Carl Allen or Allende wrote, was sent to, I believe it was Naval Intelligence for analysis, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, there was something strange about that particular edition of the book, and somehow a naval intelligence agency got involved with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Perhaps you remember that better than I do. Gray Barker had a lot to do with that. I really did not.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to another break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is James Mosley, who is the editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm sure you have some comments about the Roswell events. Give us a call, 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin. This is Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/paranet. paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbett.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. We also are taking your faxes at 303-863-0484, 303-863-0484. That's only during this hour, of course, for the program. Also, I want to mention that we still have 5 signed copies of Left at Eastgate, Larry Warren and Peter Robbins' book, and you can get they are signed, of course, and they're not personalized, but they're signed, and you can order them at 800-836-6381. They're at a discounted rate of $19.95, so if you want to give us a call at 800-836-6381, we only have 5 copies left, and a very interesting book. Now, returning to my guest tonight, Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear. Jim, what's so funny about UFOs?
Pardon me?
What's so funny about UFOs?
Well, UFOs are not funny, but I find humor in the activities of the people in the field. Some of the feuds are very interesting and have humorous overtones. I think... there's a lot of amusement you can get out of this subject. I've always felt that.
Give us an example.
Of humor in the UFO field. Well, perhaps Roswell is an example, to get back to that. I had a funny little thing happen. I was sitting in the front row of one of the lectures out there. I went to the Roswell Festival and enjoyed it very much. And I was sitting next to a fellow who said he was from the Washington Post. And he could be anybody. I think there are liars that appear in Roswell, so I didn't know for sure if he was telling me the truth. But anyway, he asked me how I felt about the Roswell Festival, and I said, only in America can you have the 50th anniversary of nothing. And I said it because it sounded kind of strange, and he quoted it in the Washington Post. I got a copy of it. It turned out he was an important writer for them, and he dug a lot of the things that I said. I had a lot of fun with that.
Now, in some of your recent issues of Saucer Smear, which are online, what's your take on this Philip Corso?
Well, I got the chance, funny you would ask, to ask him the question I really wanted to ask him, and that was this, again, getting back to the Philadelphia experiment. He had said something on a television interview, which I saw, in which he indicated that he believes in time machines. And he didn't go into it. It was just the very end of the interview. So when I had a chance to question him at a press conference out at the Roswell Festival, I asked him if he believed in time machines or something to that effect, and he gave me a long, rambling answer that seemed to pertain to the Philadelphia experiment. So I guess he takes that seriously.
What's your take on the Philadelphia experiment? Is it real or?
Well, I was talking to you before about that as far as this Carlos Allende character is concerned, and I assume that the whole thing is about as crazy as he seemed to be. There is no evidence or proof that anything like that happened. There's a book by Berlitz and Moore, as you probably know,
mm-hmm.
on that, but I don't think it's credible, no.
Okay, well, what do you think about Corso?
Well, I think Corso is a very strange character, perhaps, because he's written this book blaming the government for having known about technical items from a crash at Roswell or somewhere, and having passed this technology on to American industry, and nobody in the public ever knew anything about this. Well, it doesn't seem to
wash.
Credible. No, it doesn't wash. People know his credentials are real, but the motivation for his saying what he's saying now is not clear. Now, Thurman, the senator, wrote the introduction to Corso's book, and when he found out later, he claims, that it was about flying saucers, he disavowed the book. And that's a very serious situation, and the publisher promised to leave out Thurman's introduction in subsequent editions of the book. So that would show that there was some deception there.
Yeah, I think there was, too. I think it's clear that there was. Is it disinformation?
Well, I doubt it. My take on the man, not to overcross the line here, is that he's interested in some publicity and some attention and perhaps some money and whatever. He may have a political point to make, but I'm not sure what it is. He was a right-winger in his era, and I don't know if he's trying to get even with some other people in the government that he didn't get along with at that time. I don't know. He has a lot of bad things to say about the CIA, and, you know, that was in the same government that he was, so I don't know what to make out of all that.
Mm-hmm. What about MJ-12?
Well, MJ-12 is apparently a myth, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, my own knowledge of it is this. One of the 12 members of MJ-12 was Dr. Donald Menzel. Dr. Menzel was a director of Harvard Observatory quite a few years ago, and he was a well-known skeptic on the subject of flying saucers. He was the predecessor to Philip Glass. And he is one of the people named as having known that something crashed at Roswell and having said that they're probably not from Mars. Well, that is a joke that someone wrote into this briefing document about MJ-12. The joke is putting Menzel on the list because Menzel always made a joke out of life on Mars. He studied Mars and he was interested in Mars, but he didn't believe in life on Mars, and he never would have been able to know about a landing from Mars or anywhere else, and hidden that information from everyone that he knew for the rest of his life. I'm making a long story short, but there is no way that Donald Menzel could have been a member of MJ-12. So if one of the 12 members is impossible, from my own personal knowledge, which is another long story, then it's not likely that the other people were on it either. So MJ-12 is somebody's imagination, I think.
Well, you know, Stan Friedman, of course, is the one that introduced the Donald Menzel angle.
Yes, I know, and I've argued with him on this very point endlessly for years, but he won't listen to me and vice versa. He went into Menzel's background and found that Menzel had been involved in top-secret projects, but unfortunately none of them had anything whatsoever.
Well, I don't think that's so unusual in and of itself anyway, because a lot of scientists are involved in top-secret projects.
Yeah, well, I mean, during World War II, anybody with his stature in physics would have been on projects of that caliber, and he had something to do with breaking the Japanese code, I think, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
but nothing to do with UFOs. And Friedman won't deal with that point. He did find out things from Menzel's papers that were not known before, but he has found no link of any sort that would link Menzel to MJ-12 or anything like it.
Yeah. Okay, hold that. When we come back, we'll get some final comments and get your website. Web address for people to be able to go and see Saucer Smear online. Jim Mosley is my guest. He's the editor and still supreme commander of Saucer Smear. We'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
The Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs and the paranormal. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network on the paranormal, call us at 303-863-0484 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And returning from somewhere in Key West, Florida, is my guest, Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear magazine. And, Jim, I got a call off the air from somebody who said, this guy's just jaded. Are you jaded?
No, I don't think so. I'm enjoying the UFO field more in the last two or three years than I have in a long time because so much has been going on that's new and different.
Are we ever going to get to the bottom of this mystery, do you think?
Right away, perhaps in 50 or 100 years, I think, but not right away.
Do you think there's a hesitancy on the parts of some ufologists to really get to the meat and potatoes of this stuff for fear of maybe losing jobs?
Well, not jobs, but certainly if this was really solved, which it won't be, there'd be a lot of people that would have to turn their attention to something else. And I think the fact that there is a mystery is helpful to a lot of people, sure.
Okay. Well, real quick, give out the URL for your saucer smear online.
I can't do that, but you must have it there. I am not online, and I don't know what that code is.
Okay. All right, I've got it here. Okay, if you want to get to Jim Moseley's saucer smear, and it's there's like several back issues, starting with the current issue, June 20th, 97, all the way back to, it looks like, about 95. And then, of course, there's hard copies, too. But the URL is http://www.mcs.com/tilde/kvg/smear.htm. I'll do that one more time here. It's http://www.mcs.com/tilde/kvg/smear.htm. And of course, Jim's mailing address is P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida 33041. And Jim, I want to thank you for being on the program. For my Denver listeners on our affiliate, the 1280 Ralph, we're going to have another hour, so stay tuned. And thank you very much, Jim.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay. That's it for us tonight here. This has been an interesting hour. I'm Michael Corbin. Until next week, telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.